the great Russ Landy. Hey, Russ.
Hey, Bill. How you doing today?
I'm doing good. A tinge sad because the college football season is over. We had a great game last night. We still have a couple.
You
of
are kidding.
We still have a couple of NFL games left, but this is that time of year where you start going, oh man, football.
I gotta wait all summer until there's football again.
Yeah, that's exactly right. What was your takeaway of what Urban Meyer was able to do with a third string quarterback last night?
Well, I think it's pretty remarkable when you look at the fact that when he got there, they were so deficient in team speed and athletic ability. And when you watch that game last night, it was clear that not only has he been able to recruit elite players, but so many elite players that even when their third-string quarterback is pressed in action, he is good enough when surrounded by a ton of talent to lead them to wins over elite programs. So I think it's remarkable. I think having that physical, aggressive defense and having Ezekiel Elliott, who may be the best running back in the country, really has done and allowed Urban to work with a quarterback who's still learning what he's doing and trying to figure things out.
Hey, Russ, if he's able to do that, and he had great success. I did his coach's show when he was out here for a year, 2 years in Utah, and you know he went to Florida and had such great success. He's got a blueprint. Urban knows what he wants to do. He's done the same thing. He's taken teams that were pretty well established, turned them, and then built them even more. If he's able to do that at Ohio State, why aren't more Big Ten schools? Because his team doesn't look like a Big Ten school, a traditional Big Ten school. They look like an SEC or a Pac-12 school with the speed at the skilled positions. Why aren't more Big Ten schools able to do what Urban's been able to do?
Well, because I think the reality is Urban's a special guy. Not many guys can recruit like he can. I think any team that can recruit elite talent has a chance to look like Urban's team. And there just aren't that many teams that are able to recruit premier talent. I think it's especially harder to recruit elite talent to the Midwest. I mean, the reality is nowadays there's no reason to choose a Michigan or an Ohio State over a Central Florida or an Oregon State because they're all on TV nationally every weekend on ESPN or ESPN2 or something like that. So how do you get a kid to go from beautiful warm weather to cold weather in the middle of the country? It's hard. So I think it takes a special coach who knows how to recruit. Urban can do that. D'Antonio has done a good job of that at Michigan State. I think Jim Harbaugh will do an outstanding job of that at Michigan. But you've got to be a great recruiter to bring the elite athletic talent to your school. Otherwise, you just can't. You won't look the same.
He's got a conundrum right now. He's got three quarterbacks that are all scheduled or could come back next year. Is any one of those – Barrett can't come out yet. Miller could. I think Cardale Jones could too. Are any of those guys NFL-ready quarterbacks yet?
No. I mean, none of them's ready to come in tomorrow and play. I think Barrett is a very intriguing kid because for the first starts of his career, I mean, when he took over for Braxton, you saw a guy that looked bad, but as the season went on, he got better and better and better, and he's probably the best pure passer of all of them. Whereas Braxton, to me, is better a runner than he is a quarterback. And Cardale Jones, I mean, three games in, it's hard to know what he is. Is he Big Ben Roethlisberger, who's a giant man with a cannon for an arm? But can he be a consistent quarterback? I mean, in terms of NFL, I think they're all question marks. But in terms of college football, all three can win and win big. And to say they have a luxury of having those three guys and hopefully having all three of them back next year would be a remarkable situation.
Do you have a sense? I know you do some work for the Big Ten Network and you do a lot of work in that region. Do you have a sense of who may come back? Do you think Miller transfers out and goes one and done someplace else?
You know, I don't think he wants to. I really think Miller would like to be there. I think the ideal situation may be to see if JT Barrett, because he's coming off a broken ankle and he may not be 100% till say mid-season. You don't know when he's going to be 100% because we're not doctors. But if they could say to him, hey, why don't you redshirt? Why don't you take this year? You redshirt. Braxton's the guy. Cardell's his backup. And then a year later, JT and Cardell can sort of battle it out to be the starter. I think that would be the ideal situation. I don't know if that's going to happen, but I don't think Braxton wants the transfer. Will he? It's possible, but I don't think that's his first choice.
Star of the game was obviously Ezekiel Elliott. Does he appear to have an NFL skill set as a running back?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you look at this kid, and I mean, it's amazing when you watch him, you don't realize he's 215 to 220 pounds. He looks like he's 170 pounds the way he changes directions. He's explosive. He gets through the hole in a heartbeat. He has great balance to keep his feet. And the thing I love about him, and a scout and I were talking about him today actually at practice here, is not many backs who are that explosive also show the ability to get the pads down quick enough when they burst through a hole to take on a tackler with good pad level, and he does. This kid, to me, if it weren't for Melvin Gordon dominating the Big Ten and being sort of the biggest name in the country, everybody would know who Elliott was before the playoffs began, and he might be the best running back in the entire country. He might be better than Melvin Gordon because he's more explosive than Melvin, and he's a little bit more of a violent runner than Melvin. So he's a special guy. I'd be shocked if he's not a first-round pick when he comes out.
My good friend, and I think the best draft analyst out there, Russ Landy of GM Junior, and also college scouting director for the Montreal Alouettes with us here on the Bill and OC show this afternoon here in Salt Lake City. We get to see a lot of Pac-12 football out here. Obviously, get to see the University of Oregon. I love Marcus Mariota, the kid. There's no doubt about it. Everybody seems to be mixed on what type of an NFL quarterback he would be. I know you're early into tape breakdown, but I also know you've seen a fair amount of Marcus Mariota. How does his skill set and body type, I don't think between the ears is an issue because he seems to be a very highly intelligent quarterback, but body type, skill set, and the system he came from, how's that going to translate in the NFL for him, do you think, Russ?
You know, I mean, it's a big question mark. I mean, I've looked at every game of his this year except for the playoff and the national championship game, and I mean, charts out remarkably well. But I think the problem you have is you have a kid with great size, athleticism, big arm. He's tremendously smart. But, I mean, people in Utah can just remember, that's what Alex Smith looked like when he was playing college ball. And it took Alex a long time to become a traditional quarterback. It doesn't happen overnight. It's a long process. Because their system they're playing in is so different than what they have to do in the NFL. And that's why I think there's such a high margin for error. That's why guys like RG3 have struggled. Colin Kaepernick has struggled. I mean, it's not an easy transition. So despite my thinking Mariota has all the physical tools and believing he will be a first-round pick, I think he's a 50-50 shot to ever become a good quarterback in the NFL because it's such a long process. It doesn't happen overnight. And Alex, as you know, is a very smart guy. And for it to take him that long, I mean, it's not going to be easy for Marcus. It's not going to happen tomorrow. So I'd be very leery of using a top pick on him, even though I'm sure somebody will.
Is it a right fit thing for him? Because for Alex, he went through so many coordinators in those first 4 or 5 years in San Francisco. Russ, it was hard to get a read. And then when Harbaugh came in and stabilized things, and now in Kansas City with Andy Reid, though he doesn't have any weapons, he seems to be more at home. Is it a matter with Marcus Mariota? He's one of those guys that has to find the right coordinator or offensive system on the NFL level. He couldn't be a success everywhere?
I think that's part of it, but I do think part of it, and I think this is what hindered Alex, is it's not just the system you're in. A lot of it is learning to be in a traditional offense where you have to sit back and really go through full progressions, be in an NFL offense, not just quick reads, make a decision, make plays on the run, because you can't do that in the NFL. I mean, as quarterback after quarterback, like RG3 and Kaepernick have learned, if you don't throw the ball well, you can't be a productive NFL quarterback. So Mariota's going to have to improve playing within the pocket. And that's the question NFL teams have to answer about him. I don't think he's a slam dunk. I really don't, regardless of how good the coordinator is and how good the system fits him. I think he's going to need a lot of time to develop and become a good quarterback. Even though I like everything about him physically and mentally, it's a very hard progression because we've never seen him make many of the throws that he has to make in the NFL.
Hey, Russ, before we talk about some of the local kids and where they may fall, at least in your early projections and evaluations, the other quarterback obviously is Jameis Winston, and nobody doubts his skill set and ability. With Jameis Winston, it goes to other stuff. How do you feel about Jameis Winston? And if you were still in an NFL war room or on an NFL staff, how would you evaluate him as a prospect, not just from an on-the-field but an off-the-field stance?
You know, I mean, I'm one of the few people, I'm not sold on him even on the field. I think he makes way too many mistakes. He actually reminds me on the field a little bit of Jay Cutler, a guy that always finds a way to throw the ball into the opponent's chest. Physically, he's there. I mean, arm strength, he can do all that. He can make every throw, but I think he's very inconsistent. And when you add an inconsistent guy, that means he's going to need to do a lot of work to become more consistent and better. Well, we don't know if he has that maturity to do that. So he needs to prove in the interview process that he is willing to do that. And I'm just not sure he is. And because of that, just like Mariota, I'd be very leery of taking him in the first round. To me, there's a high failure rate with a guy like Winston, and for that reason, I couldn't take him that high.
Talking to Russ Landy for a few more minutes, there's a fair number of guys from the state this year going to make the jump, probably the biggest name from the state of Utah, jumping to the National Football League this year. Guy that exploded on the scene for Utah, that was Nate Orchard. Led the nation in sacks this year, was a second-team All-American. He won the Morris Award as the best lineman, voted on by his peers in the Pac-12 this year. 6'4", 250 pounds, very athletic kid. I don't know how much tape you've seen on Nate Orchard so far, but how does he project for you, Russ?
You know, I like Orchard. I think one of the things that he has going for him is that unlike a lot of guys who put up a lot of sacks in college through athleticism and just talent, this kid's got that, but he has a knack. He knows how to defeat blocks. He seems able to set up guys. You can sort of put that freeze on and get the tackle to stop his feet. Then he can go inside or outside. He's a highly competitive kid. Plays like his hair's on fire all the time, which is what you love from a pass rusher. I don't think he's going to be a real high pick. I think third round is probably the top. But I think in that third to fourth round, somebody's going to take him. And to me, he's the type of guy who gets on your team, you think he's going to be a backup, and what do you know, 2 years later he's starting. Because you're just guys who compete like he does and know how to rush the passer, even though they're not rare special athletes, but they're good athletes, often those are the guys who end up starting and being very productive in the NFL.
What separates Nate Orchard, who seems to have the same body type and skill set, from a Shane Ray or a Gregory at Nebraska, some of these other guys that are projected as top 15 picks? The collegiate numbers were similar. Their body types were similar. What separates Orchard from those guys?
Well, firstly, they're very different guys. Gregory is probably the best athlete of all the defensive ends in the whole draft. He's a rare guy. He's in that athletic category of a Jadeveon Clowney. That's what makes him so special. He's not a great player. He's a good player. He's a much better athlete than player at this point. But his upside is that of a true superstar. When you look at Shane Ray, he's not Randy Gregory athletically. He's better than Orchard, and he plays with similar to Orchard. He plays with great intensity, great violence. He's extremely powerful in terms of strength and point of attack. He's going to be probably, I would say, the fourth to the eighth pick in the draft. I mean, Shane Ray is a special, special player with the talent, I believe, to make an immediate impact in the NFL. And be one of those guys that can sort of be the sort of cornerstone of your defense, because he not only is going to be an elite player, the way he plays rubs off on his teammates, and he's going to raise the level of everybody around him.
One guy that's got a decision to make for Utah is Devontae Booker. He had a tremendous year, was a first-team All-Pac-12 running back. A little bit older, Russ. He's 22 years old, but he's got the option to come back very close to the coaching staff here. I know running backs in today's NFL and in today's NFL draft don't hold the same value that they did 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago. But a kid like Booker, who runs very violently, he's got a pretty good burst, though not a burner. Where would he project if he decided to come out?
Well, I think he'd probably be, my guess would be third round, maybe fourth. But I think it makes sense to come out because, like you said, he's not a young kid. And running backs have a limited number of carries in their body. At some point, most running backs just go off the cliff. It's just boom, gone. So to me, he's a guy that it makes sense to come out at this point. Come out, see where you're going to go. Even if he ends up a fifth rounder, it's unlikely it would change much if he were to stay in another year, and it's one less year of pounding. So to me, it makes perfect sense. Come out now, get in, start proving you can play in the NFL, and see if you're ready to be an NFL player, because there's no sense to me in staying in longer. It really doesn't make a lot of sense.
Where is this draft heavy this year? Where is this draft going to be light this year?
You know, offensive tackle, pass rusher, receiver, very deep. The lack of depth, I guess you would say, inside linebacker, corner. I mean, corner, it's really a barren group. There's one or two guys like Trey Waynes, P.J. Williams, maybe Darby from Florida State that are going to go in the first round. But after them, it's a big drop-off. It's a real big drop-off. There's not a lot of elite corners. And linebacker-wise, it's not a really great group. I mean, those are two positions I'm really disappointed in. And really, tight end, watch out. There's nobody at tight end. I mean, there's nobody. It's a frightening group. There's no elite guy. The best guy might be Max Williams out of Minnesota, who's a big, athletic kid, but he's not a fast guy. So, I mean, those are three positions that, to me, if you're desperate for one of them, you better get the top guy because there's not much in the upper echelon after that top guy.
Russ, great catching up with you. Give folks an idea of where they can find your information online. We're going to have you on a few more times, several more times before the draft and combine and stuff, but where can they find your stuff online these days?
You know, best thing they can do, two places. They can watch me every day, 120sports.com. We have a show called The Football Fix. They can check it out. It's a two-hour show, 5 days a week, online. It's a fantastic show. The other thing they can do, and it'll be in about a month, they can go to gmjuniorscouting.com. It's going to be a new website we're launching. It's going to have a really unique way of breaking down prospects for the NFL draft and offer some great insight and stuff. And either one of those places, they'll find out everything they can about NFL players-to-be that are going to be coming out in the draft.
It's been a long time since you put out that big catalog, isn't it?
Yeah, now it's nice. It's all in PDF form. I don't have to mail it out, and it's a lot easier this way.
What was that book, about 400 pages when you used to put that thing out?
Yep, 400 pages, exactly.
Wow. Russ, thanks. Great catching up with you. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks a lot, Bill. I appreciate it, man.
Great stuff as always. Russ Landy, GM Jr.